our prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our lesson this morning comes from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alle, alle, alle.
Sermons are conversations. Some people who sit in the pews want to make the case that these are more like lectures, right? And I'm just telling you something that I already had in my back pocket 2 weeks ago and I could have told you. Well, let me tell you, this morning's sermon is definitely a conversation. And I can prove it to you because I had worked on this sermon and had a sermon ready on Monday. And guess what? That sermon is no longer useful or it's gone. Poof, it's gone. This week has been one of upside downness. And the conversation I framed was totally irrelevant. We are not living in the same time and place that we were at the beginning of the week. Last weekend, a couple of us went on a retreat about congregational and personal development. And at the retreat, the leader used this example from a book called Canoeing the Mountains. It was about Lewis and Clark. Do you guys remember who Lewis and Clark supposedly were? Does everyone remember who Lewis and Clark were, right? From our history textbooks? Well, these guys were tasked with mapping the western part of the U.S., and somehow the best intel that the people that Lewis and Clark were working with had gotten was that there was a continuous waterway all the way to the west coast. And so if they could map this continuous waterway all the way to the west coast, we were all solid, commerce would go, it would be awesome, right? So now, one might wonder in this story maybe why they didn't talk to a couple native people and check out that information, but that's not the point of this story. This story is about what they thought was going to happen. So they get to where they're going, and they look across, and there is no river. There's the Rocky Mountain Range, right? And so they have 2 choices. They can either try to canoe across a mountain range, which is impossible, but that's what they had planned to do, or they had to come up with an entirely new map. The retreat leader called this going off map. He was trying to suggest to us that this time and place in the land of church requires a new map that we don't have, which I do agree with. But the example rings even more true for me in what our country feels like this week. Most of us don't have a map for where we are today. Many of us feel like we're standing with our paddles looking at a mountain range wondering what in the world we're supposed to do. The ways we've worked on things and the ways we've tried to make change feel very like they're not working. when something tumultuous happens, when something feels like our world is turned upside down, it's very human and very easy to think about what the next right step is. I feel like the world is so chaotic and so turned upside down. What can I do next? How can I change these things? And these are all great questions. We have to ask those questions. But first, we must give ourselves some room to have some feelings, all of our feelings. Whenever there's a big change, good or bad, a lot of people go into a moment of shock. We don't believe this is what's happening, and we're totally not sure what we're feeling. We feel a little numb. Maybe we should be okay with feeling a little numb and offer that numbness and lack of clarity back to God. In my therapy office, we work sometimes with children, and we have this deck of cards called the feeling cards. Rachel probably knows what they are. The feeling cards. So if a kid's like, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what I feel, whatever. My parents fight, I feel something, and you hand them the cards, and you're like, is this it? And it's a sad face, and they're like, is it this one? Or is it this one with the smiley face on it, right? I feel like a lot of us could use a deck of feeling cards right now to figure out what we're feeling. But we, as adult people of faith, have the Psalms. And when you're not sure of your feelings, somewhere in the Psalms, those feelings are expressed. So before we move on to action, I want us to talk about how we might feel. If you're in shock over the last week, maybe Psalm 18 speaks to you. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. Some of us are filled with sadness. Some of us are boiling with anger. Some of us alternate between all of these things within an hour, back and forth. If you're boiling with anger or filled with sadness, maybe it's a little more like this. My tears have been with me day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is my God? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Or maybe like this. You cast us among the nations. You sell your people for nothing. You do not make a profit on their sale price. You make us an object of shame for our neighbors, a thing of scorn and derision for those around us. You make an example of us to the nations. All day my humiliation confronts me and my shame covers me. Some pretty intense feelings in the Psalms, right? Those are some pretty intense feelings. No matter where your feelings lie at this moment, the most important thing I want to say to you today is don't hide them from God. At any stressful time or time of turmoil, in any relationship, there's an opportunity for the relationship to either move closer or for there to be distance created. Have you ever gone through something with a really good friend or a loved one? You either can get closer or you can come out of it and feel like you're a million miles apart. It's the same with God. Times of stress give us an opportunity to draw near God, or they give us an opportunity to ignore God. No matter how we feel, we should take it to God in prayer. Have you ever told God you were so angry you couldn't pray? Have you ever told God you felt let down? This week has been a week of a lot of feelings. God is big enough and waiting to hold all of those feelings. Maybe you need to tell God you're confused and lost. Maybe you need to tell God that this stinks. So let's say that somewhere in all of this, you get in touch with those feelings and you feel those feelings and you share them with God. Well, then what? This is where our story of Isaiah could come in. In this story, there's a king and he's been reigning for 5 decades and it's been going really, really well. People really liked him a lot. His remarkable reign comes to an end because of his death, and everyone feels really unstable. Does this feel like anything that's going on in our life right now, maybe? I don't know. The Judeans are really threatened. There's this Assyrian Empire, and they're like really strong and have really great weapons and really know what they're doing. And the city in which Isaiah finds himself in, Jerusalem, they have like some sort of put together things. There are a lot of refugees. And there is a huge vacuum of leadership. There is no one that's there to lead, and they really need someone to lead. Isaiah feels really unworthy and not really sure of how he can help. He's unprepared. But yet, when he hears the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" he says, "Here I am. Send me." The example used in the story, which the story is a little funky, I'll give you, seraphs or angels, if you didn't know what that was. And in the story, for cleansing purposes, a hot coal is put in his mouth with a pair of tongs. Not a very relatable example. Most of us would not do that in our unworthiness. But I think we can all relate to the feeling of someone asking us to do something big and feeling like we just don't have it in us. We're not the right person. Not me. There's got to be somebody better, right? There's got to be somebody else that can take that. I'm not really all that great at what you're asking me to do. Being a minister is certainly like that. If there's any minister out there that thinks they've got all of what it takes to be a minister covered, don't go to that church. Okay? So many people, so many feelings, so many concerns. Even to just try to listen to all the hurt and pain that's going on in the world, let alone try to impact it. Oh my goodness, if you think you've got it covered, you're crazy. But there are lots of things like that in life that feel so much bigger than what we're capable of. Who in this room feels totally 100% capable of parenting a child and raising them to adulthood well? Who in this room feels like if one of their friends got cancer, they could be just totally on it? They would just be 100% the supportive friend and everything that person needed. None of us. We're not prepared for all sorts of things that we're asked to do. And yet, we still try, right? We have to. The world is in desperate need of people, imperfect people like all of us, to share God's love with the world that so, so desperately needs God's love. God is asking us right now, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" The question is, will we sit here and curse all the things that aren't right? Or will we say, "Here I am, send me"? Amen.